always sometimes have some hard difficulties there, but I praise the Lord that He's always good. And turn over to Psalms chapter 30, if you would. Psalms chapter 30. We'll switch over here, Brother Randy. Psalms chapter 30. We'll look at some passages of Scripture this morning that bless my heart in my devotion time. And this week, the Lord just kind of impressed this on my heart to preach. I love the Word of God, that it just always speaks to our heart, and just when we need it. So Psalms chapter 30 and verse number 1. Psalms chapter 30 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "I will extol Thee, O Lord, for Thou hast lifted me up." That word extol, by the way, means praise, but it's even a higher praise than just what we just would say in our average praise to the Lord, average singing it. That word extol means to lift up your voice in praise. "So I will extol Thee, O Lord, for Thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto Thee, and Thou hast healed me. O Lord, Thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness." Isn't that a good verse? We ought to thank God for His holiness. Thank God that He's a holy God. Amen. If He wasn't, we'd be on our way to hell. "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness, for His anger endureth but a moment, in His favor in His life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Thank God. "And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by Thy favor Thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide Thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to Thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise Thee? Shall it declare Thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be Thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to Thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto Thee forever." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for, Lord, Psalms chapter 30. We thank You, Lord, for a life of David who knew how to praise You in the dark hour. Thank You for times that we face, that sometimes it's there for us to grow and even get closer for You and to You. Lord, we thank You for the crowd that You sent our way today. Thank You for the guests. Thank You for those that have been returning. Thank You, God, for the work that You're doing, the souls that You're saving. Lord, we give You glory for anything good that happens today. Lord, we love You. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, there's a comfort of knowing that our trials and tribulations will get better. You know, there's some folks today that no doubt are sitting in here. There's no doubt in my mind. Matter of fact, I know there is, because I've been praying for certain situations. And there's some folks in here today that they're facing the dark hour. I mean, they are in the foggiest, darkest, gloomiest, lowest valley that they've ever been in their life. I know that we've not made it public. We've not said a whole lot of things. Matter of fact, you don't have to. There's some folks that just are going through it. We know. Matter of fact, there's some that may be watching today. They're not even physically able to be here today because of that valley, because of that darkness, because of that. But you know, it's always good to know. There's always comfort in knowing that that fog one day will lift, that that sun one day will come up. That, by the way, for thousands of years, at least 6,000 years, the sun has come up every morning. Amen? And by the way, the sun is going to come up in the morning. I love that old song that we sing. Brother Jacob, we were going to sing this in just a little bit. But I like this song. It says, "Once again I faced Satan this morning, and I battled him all the day long, but in my weakness God sent reinforcements, and at sundown I'll sing victory song. And the sun's coming up in the morning. Every tear will be gone from mine eye. This old place is going to give way to glory, and like an eagle, I'll take to the fly. I like the second verse. In a world filled with doubt and confusion, it's so hard when we don't understand, but I'll stand on a solid foundation, and I'll hold to His unchanging hand. Amen? Hey, you know what we ought to do? We ought to just bank on the sun's coming up in the morning. But a lot of times, there's people that are going through those dark times, and they're going through valleys, and you say, "Preacher, how do I make it through the dark times? How do I make it through that fog?" The other day, I was at a pastor's retreat yesterday, and actually it was Thursday through Saturday, and we were in Mount Mitchell, North Carolina. We were in the mountains. I mean, we were way up there, and we were just, we've been doing this for a year, about 18 of us pastors get together, and we've been doing this now for 9 or 10 years, and we pray, and we often preach to each other, and we have a good time. We have a great time. We even golfed on Friday evening, and Mount Mitchell has a beautiful course up there, and man, it was just a good time, a good retreat. We spoke yesterday morning. Friday night, we were going to get some supper together, and we drove down to a place called Spruce Pine, North Carolina. Spruce Pine is just a little place, but it's beautiful. And we were coming down. It's about 30 minutes from Mount Mitchell. And we were coming down that windy mountain. It was a misty, foggy, dreary day all day Friday up there it was. And we were coming down that mountain. Coming down, we could see pretty good. We ate a meal that night. And we were going back up to this cabin kind of lodge place that we were staying. And on our way up, we hit the fog. And it's a really bad place to hit the fog because on one side is the mountain and on the other side is a drop-off that you would fall and I'd probably still be falling today. I mean, it was way down. And I hit that fog and I'm driving in my truck and I had 3 other pastors with me and we're driving. And I went from about 30 mile an hour going up the mountain to about 5 mile an hour. I was creeping. I was hanging on. And one of the pastors sitting beside me, he was hanging on to the door. And I said, "Man, if we fall off this cliff, you hanging on to the door ain't going to help a bit." Well, he's just hanging on. He's like, "Man, are you okay? Can you see the road?" I said, "No, I can't see nothing." I have never been in such thick fog in my life. And it kept getting worse and worse and worse the higher I went. Finally, we got to this place there was kind of like a little fork in the road where you turn one way. There was the parkway, the Blue Ridge Parkway. There's another place we were going to go. I couldn't even see where to turn. I thought, "Man, I'm going to turn off and just fall off into the..." God only knows what I'll fall off into if I miss this turn. So I stopped. I got out of the truck. I walked over and physically checked to see if there was a road there. Got back in my truck. And, I mean, we had a problem. We finally got to our place. And I got out of the truck and I was shaking. I'm like, "Man, I ain't never drove through anything like that before." I mean, it was the thickest fog. Could not even see my own headlights. Just driving. I looked at the yellow line. That's all I could see right beside my truck. Stuck my head out the window. Was looking at the yellow line, trying to stay with the road. And I was thinking, though, in my life, there's some people in our lives that are going through that same thing today. I mean, they're walking along this journey called the Christian life, and sometimes it's as clear as day. Sometimes you can look out there and see as far as the eye can see, and it's as clear, and the sun's shining, and everything's all great and grand and wonderful, and then there's days and hours where you can't see nothing. And you don't understand what's going on. And David, I'm sure, if there was any man in the Bible that understood the dark times and the dark hour, and I mean, when you can't even hear the voice of God. I mean, everything's a fog and everything is just so dreary. David understood it. But I believe there's 4 or 5 things found in Psalms chapter 30 where we can get some help today. That if anybody knows how to make it through the dark time, it was David. I want you to notice, number one, our adversity during those dark times. You know who my biggest enemy is when I'm in the fog? The biggest enemy when I'm in the dark? The biggest enemy when I just don't know what to do? It's me. I am my worst enemy. I have messed myself up more times than the devil's messed myself up. I have hindered myself. I have taught myself out of doing things. I have messed myself up. Hey, I have thought things that wasn't even true about situations. You know what? When we're in that storm, when we're in that dark hour, when we're in that dark place in our life, hey, it is, I mean, we are our worst enemy because we talk ourselves out of doing things that we ought to be doing. I mean, we just mess ourselves up. We see our adversity during those dark times. Because see, sometimes we misunderstand our situation. If you look with me in verses 8 and 9 of Psalms 30, it says, I cried to the Lord. O Lord, unto the Lord I made supplication. What's David doing? He said, I'm praying. Look at verse 9. What profit, here's what he said, what profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? I believe David here is saying that sometimes we misunderstand our situation. It's kind of like that boy that made that little toy boat and he had it out there in that lake and he was just hoping that it would float. Boy, it started floating and he was so happy and he was like, man, look at my boat that I made and it's sitting there floating. All of a sudden the wind got it and took it out in the middle of the lake. He started crying. He said, what do I do? How do I get my boat back? And one of his buddies took out some big old rocks and started throwing it. He got mad at his friend and he said, what are you doing? Trying to sink my boat? And his buddy said, no, I'm trying to make waves that'll bring it back. And often I think the Lord tries to make waves in our life to bring us back. He sometimes puts some fog in our life to get us to draw near and closer to the Lord. Hey, there's some of you sitting in there today that there's some fog in your life. There's some things that you don't understand. I can't explain it to you. It may be a physical problem. It may be a spiritual problem. It may be a marriage problem. It may be a wayward child. I have no idea, but I know this. God puts things in our lives to draw us closer to Him. We see adversity here. There's a misunderstanding in our situation. Sometimes there's a miscalculating our strength because verse 7, it says in verse 7, Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face when I was troubled. Sometimes we rely on our own strength. Folks, we are absolutely nothing without the Lord. Why would we rely on our strength? David here says, you're the one that's made my mountain to stand strong. You're the one that sustained me. You're the one that gives us strength. You're the one that gives us the ability. You're the one that sustains us. Hey, we miscalculate our strength. Sometimes we misplace our song. Verses 10 through 12, look at that. Hear, O Lord, I have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. You know what David said? Hey, often we get in that fog, we get in that dark time, and what do? We stop our singing, our rejoicing, our praising. See, look at me real quick. Christians are made to praise the Lord. That's natural. It's like, folks, it's natural. It's like us eating a meal. It's like us drinking water. It's like us breathing. It's like us thinking. It's natural for a Christian to praise the Lord. You say, well, preacher, I can't hold a tune. I can't sing a song. Oh, hey, listen, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Make a joyful noise, not make a joyful song. Sometimes some of our singing is noise. Amen. I'm thankful He put noise in there. You know what? It ain't always going to be performance and getting up there and hitting every note and hitting every... But folks, it's beautiful in the ears of the Lord when you're singing it out of the heart. Hey, you know what we ought to be doing? We ought to be praising God. Guess what we do when the storm comes? Often we stop singing. Often we stop praising. Often we stop rejoicing. Hey, often we stop doing the things that we should be doing. You say, why? Because the storm, that dark hour has come. Then a lot of times we misjudge ourselves. Verse 6 says, and in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. You know what David said? He said, hey, I'll never be moved. You know, often we misjudge ourselves. We think that we're able to withstand the storm on our own. We're not. You say, well, preacher, I can do it on my own. I've had people tell me that. Oh, preacher, I'm good. I don't need your help. I don't need the help of the church. I don't need the help of my neighbor. I don't need anything. I'll be okay. Folks, to me that sounds kind of prideful. Now, it's okay. Some everybody's different. Sometimes people are a little bit more independent. Sometimes people are more personal and they don't want all their stuff broadcast. They don't want people knowing about their problem. I understand that. But folks, if you need help, don't be afraid of somebody coming in and helping you. We can't all make it on our own. Matter of fact, if I need help, I want somebody. A few weeks ago, I was driving on the interstate. I'm talking up a storm to somebody on the phone. I mean, I am going at it, man. We're just talking, and one of my preacher friends in Mississippi, and we're doing this online Bible college thing, teaching and doing some different things. And we were talking about just something. He was giving me a thought about a message he was putting together. And I was like, man, that's good, that's good, that's good. Man, that's wonderful. All of a sudden, my truck goes. I'm like, man, that was weird. I mean, I'm on 385 in the fast lane. Kind of catch like that, and I thought, man, what was that? I look down, and I'm below E. I mean, in the fast lane with a big semi is coming behind me, and I'm on E, like empty. E stands for empty. It's bad. And in that truck, you can hear it guzzling. I mean, you can hear it drinking. When you hit the gas, it's like, ooh, good. You know, you can hear it. I'm like, man, it gets like 12 miles a gallon. It's bad. But I love it because everybody's afraid of it. Amen. But I still like it. So anyway, I was driving down the road, and all of a sudden, the truck just stops. Like I got over and I was fortunate to get over a few lanes and got over on the shoulder, barely on the shoulder of 385 there, and out of gas, embarrassed. I'm like, man, if any of our church members come by and they see my truck on site with flashers, I'm so embarrassed. It'd been a long time since I run out of gas. So I call my wife. When I call her, she just laughs. I'm like, honey, I'm on the side of the road, and I'm out of gas. She's like, ah. I'm like, man, that ain't no help at all. So I like hang up on her. Then I'm like, man, who can I call? So I called a few, like just texted a few people, and finally Brother Brad came back, and he said, man, how far are you away? In just a few minutes, maybe 15 minutes, he had me a little thing of gas, got enough up to a gas station. I thought, man, ran out of gas on empty. Guess what, though? I could have said, ain't nobody helping me. You know what? My truck still be there. Or I could have walked about 3 miles and walked. And by the way, it was one of them hot, real hot days. I could have walked 3 miles up, got me a jug, and walked 3 miles back. Somebody pull over and say, hey, buddy, you need some help? No, I got this. Get all mad at them for asking. Does it look like I ran out of gas? Because I did. See that truck up here? That's mine. You know what? That's crazy. You say, preacher, come on. Somebody's going to help you get some gas and going to ride you and get you where you need to be. Let them. Then why don't you let people help you along the way? Well, it's just a little. No. Hey, listen, them problems can turn into big problems. You let them fester a little while. So we see this adversity during those dark times. We misunderstand our situation. We miscalculate our strength. We misplace our song. And we also misjudge ourselves. But then we see, number two, our advocate during those times. Hey, I got good news for you. During the dark hour, we have someone that's our advocate. Notice what Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 28 says. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them have no might. He increaseth strength. Hey, thank God that we have someone that even if he created the worlds and the heavens and the earth, he has time for you, and he has time for me. He's never fainted. By the way, he gives strength to those that are weary. Hey, can I ask you a question this morning? Maybe your problem this morning is just you're overwhelmed. Sometimes that's me. I mean, matter of fact, there's a lot. A lot of times that's me. I get easily overwhelmed. You're looking at an easily overwhelmed person. I'm not made out of steel and can handle what what, you know, strong. There's a lot. My wife is, matter of fact, she's a good calmer downer, except when I'm out of gas. That's not that situation. But most of the time, hey, she's, oh, it's going to be all right. Oh, it's going to be fine. Hey, everything's going to work out. It's going to be all right. Hey, I need that in my life. You know why? Because we get easily overwhelmed. We get easily burdened. I get easily discouraged. And friend, let me tell you right now, if that's me this morning, then I can imagine there's some of you sitting out here this morning that life has got you twisted all around, got you all messed up. You're in a fog this morning. You're messed up. You can't see. And you're like, preacher, if it gets a little more overwhelming, I'm going to fall to pieces. I got news for you. We have an advocate. He's never seen a situation that he could not handle. He's never seen a problem that he could not fix. Hey, I praise God for it. See, Christ appears in person for us. See, the Bible says in Hebrews 9:24, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but in heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God, I like this, for us. So God Himself, He doesn't send Gabriel. He doesn't send Michael. He doesn't send Daniel. He don't send Apostle Paul. Hey, guess what? He shows up on our behalf to God in person. I praise the Lord for that. Hey, He comes in person. Hey, guess what? Not only does He appear in person for us, but He appeals in prayer for us. Romans chapter 8, verse 34. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Hebrews 9:24. For Christ hath not entered into the holy place made with hands. I've got this all messed up. Romans 8:34. I'm sorry, I got a little ahead of myself. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So guess what Christ is doing right now on the right hand of the Father? He's praying for you and me. Interceding. Praying. Brother Will, He's praying for you. He's praying for me. We ought to thank God every day that Jesus Christ is praying for us. You say, I don't have nobody praying for me. You got one. Jesus. How would you like Jesus to pray for you? That's what He's doing. He's praying for you. He's praying to the Father. He's interceding on your behalf. He applies His plan. James chapter 4, verse 6, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but He giveth grace unto the humble. So He resists those that are prideful. You know what pride says? I don't need your help. Pride says, I'm not going through. Hey, what I'm going through, I can handle on my own. But guess what? He gives grace to those that are humble and says, oh, I need all the help I can get. That's grace. He applies His plan. We see an advocate during those dark times. Hey, is there somebody in here this morning that you're, preacher, I'm going through the dark time. I'm going through the struggle. I'm going through that fog that you talked about. I'm going through that. I used to coon hunt with my grandpa when he was physically able. We'd be in the mountains of West Virginia, and he had a bunch of coon dogs. We'd run them just about every night, and we'd go out there. And I remember he had this old carbide light, and I'd be just a teenage boy, and he didn't have another light for me. I just wanted to go and spend time with my grandpa and hear them dogs tree, and I was just having a good time. I didn't have a light. I just hung on to my grandpa. There was a few times when he would turn that light out and say, listen, it'd be pitch black. I mean, you could not see your hand in front of your face. But I was all right because I had a hold of his coat. See, I knew I was all right because I could feel he was there. I could even hear him breathing sometimes. I could hear him maybe breathing a little bit, maybe wheezing a little bit. I could hear my grandpa, and I knew everything was all right. You would have dropped me in the middle of those woods. I wouldn't have had a light. I'd been panicking. I'd been messed up. But you know what? I knew I was okay because grandpa was near. You know what? The same thing applies to our Lord. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, matter of fact, I'll give you grace to make it through. Only if you're humble. Then we see not only there's an adversity, not only is there an advocate for these dark times, but there's advice during these dark times. You know what my advice to you is? I think it's the same for David. Stick to the Scriptures. Don't run from the Bible. Run to the Bible. You know what? Anytime I need to make a major decision, I don't neglect the Bible. I read more Bible. Because this is God's way to speak to us. How do we speak to God? We speak to Him the same way David spoke to Him, through prayer and supplication. We pray to God. How does God speak back to us? He speaks to us through His holy Word. Hey, I thank God for that. We get to read the Word of God. Hey, we got students in here today. We got Bob Jones students in here. Listen, and other students, if you're going through a dark time, there is no darker place than being away from home and going through a dark time. I remember those days in college when I was away from... I was 900 miles away from my family when I went to Bible college. I remember those dark times. I remember those unexpected bills. I remember those things when I remember being sick away from home. I remember things going through. Hey, can I got news? Good news for you. You may be away from home. You may be away from mom and dad. You may be away from your home church or your home family. But I got news for you. You can't get away from the Lord. He's with you. He's an ever-present help in the time of trouble. He's with you wherever you are. My advice to you is trust His Scriptures. Number two, trust His strength. Trust His strength. Don't rely on yours, rely on His. Amen? Don't run from... You know, it's a funny thing to me is when the dark times come, a lot of times we're tempted to run from that which is going to help us. We want to run from the church. Folks, can I tell you, when the dark times come, please to God, don't run from the church, run to the church. When the dark times come, don't run from the Bible, run to the Bible. Hey, bathe yourself in the Word of God. Number four, we see an advantage during those dark times. See, look at verse number three, there's an advantage. The Bible says, O Lord, Thou hast brought up my soul from the grave, Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. You know what He'll do, this advantage in the dark times? In the storm, He will guard you. David said, you kept me from that horrible pit. He'll guard you. You know, I was thinking last night as I was Friday night, as I was driving in that fog, the two things that saved my life, that I probably would not be standing here today. Two things that helped me Friday night, there were guards for me. Number one was that yellow line on the road. I mean, he's thankful for that yellow line. Without it, there'd be deaths out here every day. Now, there's a lot of deaths out here already because people sometimes don't even regard it. But it directs us. It tells us what path to go. I couldn't see the way up here, but I was looking right here. And I knew that I was in the right lane. The second thing that helped me in that fog was them headlights. I could at least see the edge of my truck. I could have at least seen. Now hold on a second. Headlights wasn't just good enough. I needed my guide right here. But imagine if I'd been in complete darkness. You know, we got some guides to help us along the way. This is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Oh, don't run from it. Hey, don't run from it. Light up your path. Light up your way. Hey, when's the last time you read your Bible? When's the last time you actually got fed in the Word? Hey, I love you being here on Sunday morning. I love you being here on Sunday night and Wednesday night. But you need that time on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday where you open up your Bible and you need to read it on your own and get fed on your own. We got some folks sitting here today. You know how they got saved? They got saved by reading the Bible. You say, no. I think everybody's got to get saved by somebody leading them to Christ. That ain't the truth. We had a missionary here a couple weeks ago. Y'all remember the man that had that really cool accent? Thomas Britton, we took him on. Missionary to London. But he's went to Thailand, an atheist. He was taking a little missionary, journey. He was an atheist, and he had graduated with a degree in philosophy from some university there in London. And he said, hey, I don't have a whole lot of money, but I think I can afford to go to Thailand for a little while and just kind of take a break. And he goes to Thailand, and he gets over there an atheist, and he's just backpacking. He just had a backpack, and he said, I'm just going to wander around. I have no reason to be here. The Guess what God was doing? God was already working. He gets over there, meets a girl that he only met 2 weeks, marries her. He speaks English. She speaks Thailand. They can't even understand each other, but they get married. I mean, that happens every day. They may both speak English, but you ain't going to understand them. Amen? Amen. All God's people said. We do speak different languages. But he literally did. She spoke English and she spoke Thai. And they were, I mean, I don't know how all that worked, but he taught her English. And then he started working some with the military there, teaching them English. And God put in the hearts of an American missionary. Somebody left a gospel track. Left a gospel track with him in a little basket there on a bicycle. And he picks up that track. And it causes him to start, really, the Holy Spirit was already at work. He started reading the Gospel of John and all of a sudden gets convicted and he's curious. And then his wife fills out a gospel tract, mails it to an American missionary there who happens to be in Thailand, and he comes over for a Bible study and wins both of them to Christ. And now he's going back to London to be a missionary. You say, what did that? The Word of God did that. Their power in this Word of God. It's not only inspired, God-breathed, but it's preserved. It's as much alive today as it was when the Holy Spirit of God spoke it into existence. It's a living and breathing book. We see advice during those dark... Hey, we see an advantage during those dark hours. Notice what verse 3, it says, it'll guard me, but notice what it says in verse 5, it will guide me. There's an advantage. Then lastly, we see our advancement during these dark hours. See, we're supposed to keep going on. This advancement during those dark hours. There's an advancement. We're not to go backwards in the storm and go back. We're supposed to go forward. But what will this storm do for me? It will cause me to grow. See, the storm will challenge me. Look at verse 8. Look what this storm caused David to do. It caused him to, verse 8, I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. So what did this storm do to David? It caused him to pray. It challenged him to pray. It challenged him. So, hey, you know what the storm will do for you this morning? It could bring you even closer to... You're no closer to God than when you pray. You're never more close to God than when you get on your knees and pray. What did it cause David to do? He got on his knees and made supplication. He prayed. He prayed. Hey, have you prayed? Not only do you search the Scriptures and trust the Scriptures, have you pray, this storm will challenge me. Hey, what will the storm do, preacher? In advancement in these dark hours, this storm will not only challenge me, but this storm will correct me. Because sometimes we need correcting. Verses 6 and 7 says, and in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. And verse 7 says, Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong, and thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. Often we need corrected. It straightens us out. You know, you ever seen these storms on television? That storm Irma and that other storm that hit in Texas area, Houston. It Harvey came through, and Irma and these other storms, Nate, and different ones that's been hitting our nation this year. If you notice what those storms do, they bend, they break. They mess up things. You let a 150-mile-an-hour wind come in, this structure here won't be standing. Guess what we'll have to do after the storm? We'll have to correct it. That which has been bent by the storm will have to be made straight again. That which was demolished by the storm will have to be built up again. Hey, when we advance because of those dark hours, when we advance because of those dark storms, the storm often will correct what needs to be corrected. Sometimes, when that storm blows in our life, it was because God seen something that needed to be corrected. Preacher, where's this money going to come from? Hey, where's this job going to come from? Where's this going to take? Preacher, I don't understand. Where's this going to come from? Often we have trusted a job or we have trusted something else, and God's trying to say, hey, you need to wake up and trust me. He corrects what needs to be corrected. And then lastly, the storm will change me. Look at verse 11 and 12. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. Sounds like to me David was once mourning. He was once in sackcloth. Sackcloth was what they would wear when they were in defeat. They were mourning. Notice what he did. He took off that sackcloth in verse 11 and he was girded. He was clothed with gladness. Verse 12 says, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. So David, because of this dark hour, said, I've literally taken off my mourning clothes and I've put on my happy clothes. I've taken that which was depressing, and that any time in the Bible you see sackcloth, it's usually sackcloth and ashes. Somebody has died and they're in mourning and they're sitting there depressed and down. And David said, that's where I was a little bit ago, but then the storm came and it's caused me to put on my glad clothes, my happy clothes, my joyful, my praising. You know, a lot of folks today have gotten defeated and gotten discouraged and gotten down. I mean, you can't help it, but talking to people today and just talking to them and saying, hey, how's it going? And when you ask that question, sometimes you don't get, well, preacher, it's going, that's about it. Sometimes it's not pleasant. I mean, hey, you ought to, listen, you ought to sit up here and look at the faces when you try to sing and preach. Sometimes you just look out here and say, dear God, I'm glad my salvation don't hinge on the way people's looking. We'd be in a mess. I mean, you talking about people, listen, they sit out there, you can sing Amazing Grace. Good to be saved. Everybody excited about being in church? About time we take off some of that and put on some something and just thank God we're saved. And the good thing about storms is I've never been in one that stayed. Never been. You know what, those storms that came in the Gulf Coast and came in and hit Florida and everybody had to evacuate? Hey, you know what? Some of them didn't go back to a whole lot, but guess what? The storm wasn't there. That storm that you're in today, it'll be gone soon. But what you got on right now, you can live in it. There's people that you just get around them and they're like Eeyore on Winnie the Pooh. Their tail, they can't find their tail. How you doing? I don't know. Man, how's it going? Okay. Are you saved? I guess. I love Winnie the Pooh, by the way. Man, Eeyore, though. Good night. I mean, never was happy. And there's some people you get around, you're just wondering, is the storm, has it done that to you? I mean, listen, has the storm really made you that down? Has the storm really caused you to be that depressed and that down? I know things can get bad. I'm telling you, there's some folks walking around today that has some problems. They've got some trials and storms. Hey, but folks, we got good news this morning. The sun's coming up in the morning. Jesus Christ one day will wipe away all them tears, all the pain and trial will all be over. And David said here, I've took off my sackcloth, I've put off my ashes, I've got out of that depressing mode, I put on my gladness, and I started praising God. Guess what? You'll find yourself coming out of that storm sooner than what you ever thought. Brother Jacob, you can come to the piano. I remember going to the trash dump with years ago. Peyton wanted to go with me, throw the trash away, and we were riding in the truck. And she said, "Daddy, can I go?" And I said, "Yeah." And it was about a 15-minute drive. And when she jumped in the truck, we started down the road. Boy, let me tell you, it was one of them summer afternoons. off in the distance, we were headed toward the... You could see off in the distance a little ways, real dark clouds. I mean, it looked pretty bad. Peyton, I could tell she was looking at it, and the wind started picking up. You could see leaves, trees starting. You know how it is before it starts a storm. I remember she saw it in her... She started getting scared. She said, "Daddy, is that a tornado?" And I said, "Well, honey, I don't think so. I think it's just a really bad storm." She said, "Well, Daddy, are we going to be all right?" And I said, "Yeah, we're going to be fine." Buddy, all of a sudden, we were only just a few minutes away from the dump. The bottom fell out. It was torrential downpour. Cracks of thunder, lightning. Boy, it was that streak lightning coming down. She's over there in the seat all huddled up. I'm like, "Man, this is bad." We get to where we were going, and we kind of pulled off a little ways on the side of the road, and it was a pretty bad storm. But off in the distance, you could see the light again. It wasn't, Brother Linwood, maybe that storm lasted 8 or 10 minutes, maybe. And all of a sudden, the rain died down, the wind stopped blowing, and the sun came out. She had the biggest smile on her face, and we rode back the way we came, but it was a different ride. She wasn't afraid of the storm because the sun was up. Storm was affecting somebody else, but we were through it. Same thing for you today. Some of you live in the storm. Hey, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you go to work. Some of your home situations are not the best. Some of your job situations are not the best. Some of your physical conditions are not the best. I got good news for you one day. The sun's coming up. It's coming up. That which bothers you today may be what God's using to get you closer. God's got plans for everybody in here today. I promise you that. But don't let the storm drive you out. Let the storm drive you in. Because the sun's coming up in the morning. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads this morning. Maybe someone here today.